Thank you for joining us today at Builders Trust Podcast. My name is Patrick Clare. I am a field safety consultant for Builders Trust in New Mexico. Today we're going to be talking about why it's important to report hazards. So let's get going. Suppose you just walked by an area and noticed a small puddle of oil on the walkway. You pass right by it, knowing that whoever spilt it is probably going to be back to clean it up. Besides, it's not your job to clean up spills. A coworker happens to walk by a few minutes later, but he doesn't see the oil. He slips and falls, hits his head on the concrete. He ends up with a severe bruise to his head and a broken elbow. So when you hear this incident, you wonder, was it the other guy's fault for not cleaning up the spill in the first place? Was it my coworker's fault for not watching where he was going? Was it my fault for not cleaning up the spill when I noticed it? The answer to all three of these questions is yes. All three people had a hand in allowing the accident to happen. Hazards may be caused by equipment malfunctions, but more often than not, they are caused by what people do or what they don't do. We need to be on the lookout for hazards in our work area. When you find small safety hazards, remove them as soon as you notice them. More complicated hazards should be reported immediately to somebody who can fix the problem. The area or piece of equipment should be blocked off or tagged out. We all need to keep proactive about preventing safety hazards. Simply reporting them to your supervisor is not sufficient enough. We all need to continue to follow up until the hazards are dealt with. So let me give you another example. You're using a power tool and you notice a slight electrical shock when using it. You know that that means that the tool's malfunctioning and needs to be repaired or replaced and taken out of service. You intend to remove it from service, but you get busy and move on to another job. A coworker comes along, picks up that power tool and uses it, and receives a severe electrical shock that results in a heart attack. Because of slightly different circumstances, what was a minor incident for you becomes a major accident for someone else. Once again, if you had removed the defective tool from service, your coworker would not have gotten hurt or had a heart attack. If an accident takes place that you could have prevented, you won't be able to forget it. You'll remember every time you see the person or hear about the accident and injury. If you're the injured person, the feeling of loss or pain can be a constant reminder. Some workplace injuries become disabilities that last for a lifetime. They can affect your ability to work and to enjoy life. Also, all near misses must be reported. So these are incidents that, if not for a bit of luck, could have been an accident. That way, these minor events can be investigated, procedures or policies can be changed. An investigation will determine the root cause. Studies show many accidents were preceded by near misses that should have served as warnings of a hazardous situation. These close calls went unreported until they were brought to light by someone getting seriously injured or killed. An injury-free, healthy life is a good life. So not only can defective tools or hazardous environments put us at risk, but we can also put ourselves at risk of injury because of our actions or inactions. Think about every job you perform. Don't put yourself at risk. And when you see someone else that may be putting themselves at risk, say something. We have to have this attitude if we are ever going to have a workplace where zero injuries is more than a safety slogan. So consider this. What are at-risk behaviors in our work area? Well, taking shortcuts. Not using the proper PPE for the hazards. For example, not using goggles when they are required and not wearing a harness when working at heights. not following procedures, adapting or using the wrong tool for the job, modifying them, overextending yourself rather than using a portable ladder or having a scaffold built, being aware of the hazard and not putting control measures in place, not properly isolating equipment to work on it. Remember the dangers of all forms of stored energy, whether it be electrical, pneumatic, hydraulic. Not communicating with each other, that's a big one. Entering barricaded areas without proper authorization or equipment. So what do we need to do personally to eliminate at-risk behavior? Well, first of all, don't put yourself at risk as you work. Don't condone a coworker performing an at-risk behavior because it could be jeopardizing you. If you do, your behavior becomes at risk as well as his. Change the culture. Get away from that mindset that says, that's the way I always have done things, or I haven't been hurt yet, so I must be safe, or I have years of experience, and it won't happen to me. Because you know what? It only takes one time and 1 second for something to go wrong. We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to honestly assess whether we will do what is right all the time, but especially when working alone and when nobody's looking. What do we need to do as a team to eliminate at-risk behavior? Watch out for each other and point out the at-risk behavior you see. Be part of the team and believe that zero accidents and incidences in the workplace are possible. We didn't hurt anybody yesterday. Have the commitment to maintain that standard and ensure we don't hurt anybody today or tomorrow. Don't walk past a hazard or a possible hazard. Do something about it. Remember, 95% of all incidents are caused by some action or interaction, human action. Eliminating at-risk behavior will eliminate 95% of incidents where people get hurt. It's a different task, but achievable with focus and your commitment. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Thanks for listening. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. And be safe.